Life on eFoods Direct.
Libya transforms itself into a government that now will focus on Sharia law. This after the death of Muammar Gaddafi, the terrorist dictator who held power for 40 years. So what's been the outcry since his death? Also, the big story of the pullout in Iraq, huge news, as the president stunned a few people, announcing that all troops will be gone by December, giving new meaning to home for the holidays, rather. But that's the deal that President Bush actually negotiated with the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, in Iraq. People just forgot about that. And so it becomes a reality. It looked as though this wasn't going to happen, and the troops were going to stay a little bit longer. But now they'll all be gone by the end of December. So does the president get any credit for it? Part of what we're going to be talking about this hour of this show, America Tonight, with me, Kate Delaney, starting off the work week, final week in October. I know I say this a bunch, but I can't help it. And I know all of you are thinking the same thing. Time, where is it gone? I'm still back in the summer. What a wild 4 and 5 months this has been when it comes to politics, when it comes to beyond our borders, what's happened in the Middle East especially. Think about Muammar Gaddafi. That goes all the way back to February. And now here he is on ice in Misrata being viewed by people with bullets in his head, completely dead, and staring out with these glassy eyes, looking at the people who are going by and banging on the glass in the frozen case that he is in, on display for the Libyans to heckle and jeer. So the Libyans are celebrating so-called independence, but this transitional government says, hey, Sharia law is going to be our basic source of legislation. To me, Sharia law is stifling. That's a strict, hardline Islamic stance in that country. So the government leader, Mustafa Abdul Jalil, is telling the people to be patient and tolerant and all that sort of stuff, because this has been 8 months, this whole civil war. But here's the vision, folks. This is it. Let me lay it out for you. Sharia law is it. This is where we're looking for our laws. This is what this country is going to be about. And we're getting rid of any other laws that contradict the teachings of Islam. They're done. They're out of here. They're kicked out. So don't shoot guns off in the air to celebrate. Instead, scream Allah Akbar in the streets. Scream it out. Scream it at the top of your lungs. So, thanking people who fought against Gaddafi and saying, hey, this is it. And now, forget about the violence. Let's bring in Sharia law. So you have the president congratulating Libya on their declaration of being liberated. The dictator is captured, killed, boom, done, out. But now you flip this over and flip the script, and Obama talking about working with this government as they prepare for the first free and fair elections. Ooh, I gotta say, sorry, if you look at Sharia law, that's gonna be pretty tough. The U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has had plenty to say about what's happened in Libya, and has also talked about the Iraq situation, because the Iraq situation is also huge and can't be overshadowed by what's going on there, since so many of our husbands, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, name any family tree or neighbors or whatever, and I bet one or two of you know a few people who are serving or who have served in Iraq, but that's all over with now. The fear is the Iranian people will think that this is free range to go after Iraq because now more of the American troops are gone, are going to be pulled out. And so Clinton had a warning for Iran.
Not going to have bases in Iraq, but we have bases elsewhere. We have security relations from Jordan to Colombia. So we're going to be present in Iraq, supporting the Iraqis, and continually discussing with them what their needs are.
So she's saying, don't misread what's happened here in Iraq. We're keeping our eyes on you, Iran. It's interesting because you had all the hubbub over the so-called possible assassination of the Saudi Arabian ambassador in Washington, right, to Washington, and then all the stories that broke after that, the connection loosely to these two Iranians, one car dealer in Texas, and how murky the situation was as to what this assassination was really all about, enough for even our own terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott, who joins us constantly here on America Tonight, to say, it's not washing with me. I think it's a smokescreen and an effort to try to protect the Attorney General, Eric Holder. But when that started to crop up anyway about Iran, and you dig a little bit deeper and you realize every time they call for economic sanctions against Iran, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's stupid. It's like calling someone out, but then you never really follow through. You're just calling them out. So we keep calling Iran out anyway. Forget the whole bogus assassination, smokescreen maybe, doesn't make sense, whatever. But every time we look at Iran, 19 economic sanctions and what? Nothing. Nothing has come from this. China and Russia are not backing everybody else in this game of let's apply the pressure to this country. They're not doing it. So we're still at a standstill with anything with Iran. Anything with Iran. Nothing. There's been no movement there as they continue to develop a weapon of mass destruction, if you will. They got nukes. You know, and you can hear two sides of this. Some people will say, oh, you know, let them do what they want. That's their business. Get out of here. Are you kidding? Really, let Iran do what they want to do. Think of some of the things that they've already done to the United States. Do I feel good about Iran developing nuclear weapons? No. You want to have your list of nuts that could possibly do some damage to the United States? Hey, Ahmadinejad, he doesn't even make a secret of it. He doesn't make any secrets of what he would probably like to do to the United States and what he would like to do to Israel as well. Maybe veiled a little bit, but it's pretty easy to read through that guy. All right, coming up, a popular governor is reelected. Do you know who was reelected? If you don't, I'm telling you next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Greetings again. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, your source for gold and silver. You know, I have the same crystal ball that you have when it comes to what's just around the corner. But we both know that there's nothing on the financial horizon that looks very good. The single measure of good news is that precious metals continue to outperform everything else out there. Right now is a time to take a hard look. Pricing is more attractive now than it's been in many months. Historically and traditionally, this is when prices rise the fastest. They haven't, and opportunity's knocking. Please give me a call, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise you an informative, no pressure, no nonsense conversation. We might even have some grins. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128. Just make that call. Thanks.
Freeze Dry Guy customers, take advantage. No, we really want you to take advantage of the October 2011 month special. We have bug-out meat buckets to beef up your real freeze-dried beef and chicken supply. You can beat everyone to the punch because we're offering Freeze-Dry Guy customers this order early October deal. Special pre-order price of $119 is now $109. Whether on the go or storing for the future, you have a gold standard in convenience, taste, and nutrition. When variety and quick preparation is paramount, our handy 4-serving pouches are excellent for 72-hour kits, camping, hunting, and backpacking. Our freeze-dried meat can even be added to your everyday routine. From last-minute dinner ideas to high-protein snacks, order now at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Again, we got those special infrared glasses. I can see a handful of hands that are going up. I'm going to tell you about the fates of two different governors, including Bobby Jindal. Yep, he's skated back in. I shouldn't say skated back in, but he gets reelected again easily. Jindal, it's interesting. He was thought to be somebody who might try to run for president because he's so popular in Louisiana. He's popular with a lot of people. There is a quality that he has where he seems to be plain-spoken, but not, you know, it's a little better than that. He knows how to cut the edges, but yet he still can speak to the people, I guess is the best way. He can cut through the crap, in other words, the politics, but dance on both sides of it. So he's a rising star in the Republican Party, and he wanted to be governor again. So he was reelected over 9 other people. He gets another 4 years as governor. He says he has a lot of work to still do. He had 68% of the vote. Looking at some of the early returns, he's the guy, there's no question. So Jindal's vote count allows him to bypass the November runoff, and he was viewed by a lot of people as maybe even still a potential VP contender, but he says he wants to really serve out as governor, that he wants to do this. He wants to fight for the people in Louisiana and a lot of things that they've been through lately. And he's not looking to make that move. He's not looking to jump into federal politics, you know, on the whether it's president, because there was a push for him to maybe go after the presidential nod, and he said no to that. And he said that if, and this makes sense to me, the people around him are saying this, that if Obama was reelected, that he would throw himself into running for president in 2016. And it makes sense because Jindal is 40 years old, so you start to do the math, and you look at things that have happened in Louisiana and the fact that he's gotten a little bit of national play, and that gives him time to up the ante. But he's not concerned about that right this second. He's concerned with the fact that he is the governor once again. He gets to stay in the position that he's enjoying, and here's what he said.
Anything that has happened that was good, it wasn't something I did. It is something we did as a state.
And see, this, what's interesting about Jindal is that this is his third race for governor. He lost in 2003 to, see if this rings a bell with anyone, the Democrat Kathleen Blanco. Remember her? Hurricane Katrina. She was the face of that, one of the politicians in that state. She won a runoff with 51% of the vote. In 2007, he beat 12 other people and won 54% of the vote. Now, of course, he's won much more. So the people like Jindal, and I think it's because of that quality he has that I mentioned, where he can just speak to the people, and yet he can still dance in those political circles, too, without selling out. That's it. He doesn't seem to have to sell out, and the people get that. All right, somebody who did have to sell out eventually, and this is another guy who was thought to be a rising star in the Republican Party, perhaps grabbing a seat in the presidential hopeful circle, but it didn't happen because of a personal scandal. Remember the former South Carolina governor, Mark Sanford? He's jumping on the tube. Fox News, he's a political commentator through the elections. And he, like I said, he was popular. He was a two-term Republican governor. And same thing. He was popular but different than Jindal. He was popular and really people were after him to run, to go bigger. And then once the reporters were tipped, and who thought of telling this fib, reporters were told that he was hiking in the Appalachian Trail. When he reappeared after he had vanished from the state in 2009, he said he was in Argentina with a woman that he said was his soulmate. You know the whole story by now. And that's all unraveled, and at this point, I don't think anyone cares about that, except for that was the end of the political aspirations. So now he's jumped on as a commentator, and this is, I think, the first job that he's had since everything collapsed for him, and probably in that role, it's like Elliot Spitzer, same thing. Remember, he was with the prostitute, he was the client, and that whole thing broke, and here he was the governor of New York, and so he gets taken down by a political scandal. Then he ends up having his own show on CNN. I guess that's what happens. If a woman takes you down in a scandal, you're going to end up on the tube being a commentator somewhere. You know, actually, though, I think he'll probably be pretty good on that network because he's been through the ringer. He's unplugged. He doesn't care. He's already over that whole thing. And he'll just focus on the politics of it all and call in his markers. And probably if he can get a couple of scoops, then it's worthwhile of the people at Fox. And once they saw him on one of the shows, I think that's what they saw. They could probably get something out of him being out of Sanford being a commentator throughout the election season, because that's where so much of the focus is going to really start to kick in, since we're 13 months away from this upcoming election. Obama's the incumbent, and then you have this slew of Republicans who are going to be involved in these caucuses and primaries and all the things that happen. in the next 6 months or so, 6-7 months, and so you're going to go to all kinds of people, all kinds of talking heads all over the place to dissect everything that's happening. And as far as all the candidates are concerned, the weekend is the big stumping time, especially if they're holding an office right now. You know, like Ron Paul, congressman from Texas, or Michelle Bachmann, same thing. She's out there on the weekends talking to people, getting the TV coverage. And not that they can't do that a little bit during the week, but that's the primary focus on the weekend. They're going to try to get some of those, what I call the Sunday swirl spins, so that they're on Meet the Press or Face the Nation or, you know, whatever it might be. And Bachmann was pretty clear that she's not dumping out of this race, despite the fact that, you know, she's getting pummeled by Herman Cain and Mitt Romney and the governor of Texas, Rick Perry. She's also had the big problem with the New Hampshire primary because her people dumped out on her, the whole staff split. And she's saying, you know, the Minnesota congresswoman is saying that she's just replacing them and she's focused on Iowa. And that's because the caucuses are scheduled before January 3rd, before the New Hampshire primary, and it should be fine. She's mostly crafting her message, you know, most of her time in Iowa or in South Carolina, that kind of stuff. She hasn't spent too much time in New Hampshire, and so she's saying, hey, we've got good people there, and we've replaced them, and, you know, we're in this for the long haul. In our straw poll, if you remember, Michelle Bachmann did go into double digits, but she was nowhere close to Herman Cain or nowhere close to Ron Paul for this group. Cain is starting to feel the weight of being the front runner because he's getting questioned about anything and everything, and he realizes he has to have answers and answers that represent what he really thinks. Once you're out there taking a cue from the Texas governor and you're out on the stage, the debates, and then you're out answering all the questions, everything is recorded, everything is written down, and it's very tough to go back on something, to flip-flop, versus you stick with what you think, stay with it, don't fall off course, depending on the crowd that's talking to you. Coming up, we've got our rock and roll moment.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Le Cig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. Safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
What's in a name? Well, if you're a rock band, or really for that matter, any kind of band, there's a lot to a name. A lot of decision sometimes goes into naming a band. Is it memorable? Does it really illustrate what the band's about? And more importantly, will people remember the name? I like off the top of my head thinking about Halloween, Smashing Pumpkins. Pretty good, isn't it? Sounds probably odd when it first was brought up. Okay, Smashing Pumpkins, what's that about? But think of the images that automatically are in your head when you hear that. And, of course, their music became pretty poppy, pretty well-known, eventually was played as soundtracks in some movies, and they got a lot of play even right out of the gate. I think there's something to that. So our pal George Russell, with his Rock Talk Radio News, has a twist on the old name thing.
I'm George Russell with your Rock Talk Radio News. Throughout the history of music, many bands and artists have used their talent to voice their opinion when it comes to things politically, and usually have done pretty well because they do so. This particular band isn't even together anymore, but guess what? They will capitalize enormously because of the name that they decided to call themselves back in 1990. That's next. A band in Canada forms using a name it thinks fits its true groove of music in 1990. pioneering a Middle Eastern fusion style of music dubbed Moroccan Roll. The band has kept fans updated on tour dates for some 15 years, before finally breaking up and leaving their website virtually untouched. In 2009, another massive political movement took place that just happens to have the same name as this band and its website. .com sales are at an all-time high right now in 2011, and when you have the name Tea Party, man, you can capitalize. The major search engines out there have reported that the word Tea Party has been looked up like none other since 2009. The band Tea Party hasn't been together in 6 years, but they're about to become millionaires, and not from a platinum record. As Ben Crawford put it, the chief executive of Dot Family Name, it's a sad world when you make more money from selling your name than from selling your music. I'm George Russell. That's your Rock Talk Radio News.
All right, George, good point there. So it is still really about the name. Hey, Matt, thinking of bands and band names, what's your favorite band? What's your favorite all-time band? He can't think of one. Oh, it's tough. It's tough to come up with your favorite band. I thought about this question before we were on the air, and I can't even answer that. I mean, because my music's all over the board. I have probably tastes like many of you do. I like everything from Metallica to, I don't know, old rock stuff. I still think the old rock stuff holds up, like even Doors and Rolling Stones, some of the old Rolling Stones stuff, some of the not as heavily played stuff. I would definitely be a B-side person. So I would mix it up. I would say current and 90s and maybe even some 70s stuff for me. But I do think that the band name, it can be huge either way. If the name is clever and, as George was saying, enough people are Googling it just because they're Googling something else, they might trip onto your stuff. And how big is that? And the answer is can be very big for sales, especially now where it's tougher. It's tougher to crack that nut where you're to be heard versus in the old days where somebody was pushing you all over the place to so many radio stations. If you don't fit that little niche because of the American Idol shows and whatever, if you don't fit that, it's got to be harder to break out. I mean, where do you get heard except for locally playing places and clubs and your tunes on iTunes and pointing people to it and coming up with some kind of a clever promotion? So I think you gotta that name is big. I think you gotta come up with a name that really, really strikes a chord. I have a friend who manages bands, and a band that she manages now is Fox in the Law. And I think that works. I think that's actually pretty clever. And they're starting to get some attention in Seattle, but can they, the Seattle has such a unique sound, can they actually crack the national market and get some play and go to some of these places where, you know, some of these festivals where they get on stage and get known to other people, more exposure to other people in other parts of the country. You know, that's the second part, I think, of that. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we want to make sure that you get to hear what's happened in our sports shorts version, what's happened in baseball, because after all, we do have the World Series going on. So while the NBA is out on strike, there is baseball, and this is it. After all these games, the whole season, it comes down to the two teams, and they are tied at two apiece, St. Louis and the Texas Rangers. So some of the highlights of what happened leading up to that, and then, of course, coming up to this fifth game, we'll look ahead to that and a couple of other crazy things that happened from the world of sports. But before we get there, giving you the quick hits, speaking of scorecards and billboards, that's where they used to fall, you know, in the music charts. Where do they fall on the billboard charts? Where do they Where do they stand? Well, that's what it is with politics. You know, it always comes back to that. Who's leading in the polls and, you know, what's happening with the president's approval ratings, and is Cain still the guy? You know, is Herman Cain still the guy who's leading most of the polls, or because now he's flubbing up a little bit in some of the, I won't say answers, but flubbing up when he's questioned about some of the issues, has he dropped back a little bit? Is it, you know, are there starting to be a few cracks in his armor, if you will? It's easy when you're on the rise, when people are trying to figure out things about you, and then more reporters are trying to nail you for things, or trying to get you caught up in a conversation about what would you do, and this happened to that person, and then you got to answer. Like Cain was confronted about abortion in Iowa, and that's a huge test. So he was there with social conservatives, and he was speaking about abortion and personal choices, and some of what he had to say left some of the people questioning, where does he stand on this? What he said to the people at the fairgrounds in Des Moines was that in terms of preventing, this is his quote, in terms of preventing abortion on demand, I wouldn't sign any legislation for government-funded abortion. And then he went on, though, to say, I would not sign any legislation in any way that allowed the government to be involved in it, but I would strengthen current laws that prevent abortion, and I believe that abortion should be clearly stated and illegal across the country. I would work to defund Planned Parenthood. So he was among six Republican presidential hopefuls speaking to some of the Iowa social conservatives who have yet to really figure out where they're going for the challenger in 2012. But this is a critical group of people. This is the group that helped the former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee with the Iowa Republican Party's caucuses, if you remember, back in 2008. And Cain had said before, he's done several interviews where he said that some abortion-related decisions should be made by families, that it gets down to the family, and whatever they decide, they decide, and that the government shouldn't be trying to tell people everything to do. So, see, that's where people are going to question him. What are you saying? What's your core conviction here? Are you against it, for it? Because that's it. That, you know, it's black and white. Against it, for it, undecided, that wouldn't work. It's either one way or the other. And I think that's where now, as you get closer to the caucuses like Iowa, New Hampshire, Florida, that's where you'll start to drill down some of the issues. You'll start to see that that'll be drilled down, some of the issues and the responses from guys like Herman Cain, because then there's people that are going to check him off the list because of his view on abortion or his view on foreign spending or whatever it, you know, it might be. And he got applause from the people that he was speaking to. In fact, he got a standing ovation from a lot of people when he finished. And, you know, a lot of people were questioning if he was confused or supported abortion or didn't support abortion, or where was he? Was he pro-life or, you know, not, or, you know, whatever. And all of the candidates have to deal with that, and they know this is like gay marriage, abortion, all of that is on the plate, is part of what you have to let the people in Iowa, New Hampshire, etc., that want to know where you stand. They want to know it, and you got to stick with that conviction wherever it falls, wherever it falls and wherever it takes you. We're hitting the highlights next.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products. Delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Fair. Go fair, baby. Go fair. Oh, yeah. A 3-run homer as Albert turned around a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, and the Cardinals are now up 11-6. Way to go, Albert. He's 3 for his last 3, and this is a 3-run homer.
Bulls hits a high fly ball. That's deep. Left center field. It's a gunner! Pujols hits a 2-out, 2-run homer in the 7th inning, 14-6 Cardinals.
Swinging another home run. There it is, his 3rd of the game. Albert Pujols, 5-for-5 with 3 home runs. And it's now 16-7. What a game from Albert Pujols here tonight. He's putting on some show-me state.
A set, a high leg kick to the pitch. Swung on and belted. Deep left field. If it's fair, it's gone. It's way back in the corner. It is history. A 3-run Jimmy Jack for Mike Napoli. A full count on Holiday. Here's the set by Feliz. And the payoff pitch.
He struck him out swinging. And the World Series is tied at 2 games apiece. 99-mile-an-hour heat has blown away Matt Holiday. And the Rangers have shut out the Cardinals 4-0.
How many people listening to America tonight growing weary of the politics? Occasionally like to kick back and watch a couple of games, especially when you're talking about the World Series. Maybe your team didn't make it in. I know a lot of people in the Northeast listening to me were big Yankee fans and Bo Sox fans and a slew of other teams, too. I know many people... send me notes about the fact that their team didn't make it in. I know a lot of you were Tiger fans, too. So it comes down to Texas and St. Louis, and the beauty of this is, hey, you got a tied series 2-2, and you're never really sure what's going to happen. The highlights that you just heard that Matt Johnson put together, such a great job. You had the slugfest of Pujols and the Cardinals blowing the doors off the Rangers. 16 runs. Nuts. I mean, crazy. It was just, they just creamed them. Even though the Rangers never did try to dig out, and they did, were able to dig out in a couple innings, but never get that close to St. Louis because they were always one step ahead. The next game, that game four, turned out to be something completely different. And you heard that there where the 25-year-old pitcher tossed one heck of a game. You know, the crowd is excited. It's his home crowd, but he's a little, he's got to be a little nervous. He just has to be, especially coming off of and watching what happened to his team the day before. But, you know, that's where you man up. That's where you win the World Series. So he had an ERA of 8.60 almost in two starts in the AL Championship Series. And here he comes out and he pitches 8 1/3, two-hit shutout innings on Sunday, and keeps his team right in the middle of the possibility of winning the series. They've got one more game in Texas, and then it swings back to St. Louis. I'd be curious to see what the overall series numbers will be, how many people are watching this World Series. Because, you know, I mentioned the other two teams, the Yankees and the Bo Sox, and the feeling in New York is if you don't have the Yankees or the Red Sox or a team like that in the series, not as many people are interested. It's kind of like how the Cowboys used to be in football, America's team. The Yankees, you walk around, you see tons of Yankees hats for people who are not living in New York or aren't people that used to live in New York. They're people that just root for the Yankees. So if the Yankees are there, the feeling is that lots of people, it's a team you either love to hate or you love. And with Texas and St. Louis, there's some interesting history, but it's not the same as the setup of even the Dodgers. Like the ultimate setup, somebody in New York told me one time, somebody at the Major League Baseball office told me one time, the ultimate would be if you had a big buildup of the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and then the two of them went at it, because I think they would really pull in a lot of interested fans. You know, and I'm not so sure. I mean, Dodgers more has been about the drama off the field lately, and they've had some decent teams, but nothing to write home about lately. So I'm not so sure about that. We'll see what the ratings, what the ratings are. There's no hoop basketball canceled for now, unless they come up with some kind of collective bargaining agreement. That's not looking super good. Hockey is happening. So you got hockey, you got football, and of course you have now the end of baseball with the World Series. I think it's good. I think it's exciting stuff to watch. And I know there's people that aren't even necessarily fans that jump on board at this time of the season. Matt, you're a huge baseball fan, but of course you're a Twins fan. They had a terrible season. It doesn't matter because the season was toast for them. Are you trying to take a peek at this series here and there?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot more of football and hockey just because it's my local teams, but I have caught the World Series. I think I was watching the game where Albert hit the three home runs, so that was Saturday night, correct?
Yeah.
And then I saw a little bit of the game tonight, but not a lot because I was fixated on Drew Brees and getting enough points so my fantasy team could win. But, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's baseball has lost superiority to the NFL. And, you know, I think it was last year was the first year there was ever a Sunday night football game during the World Series. And this is the second year they've ever done it. And I'm sure, I mean, last week the game, the the Sunday Night Football game was kind of a laugher too, was the Bears and the Vikings, and they still did better than the World Series, or I think it's the divisional playoffs then, or not the divisional, the conference championships. And now we'll see if the ratings come back. I wouldn't be surprised to see the NFL have a pretty comparable number to the World Series, even though the game is a huge blowout.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some numbers, because usually there's overnight numbers. We'll have some numbers for you tomorrow, but I wouldn't be surprised by what Matt's saying either, that it used to be the pastime was definitely baseball, and the nation would be fixated on that, and football was popular, but not quite, you wouldn't overlap them. Like, you wouldn't think of overlapping a World Series with football, and now it doesn't matter. They just put it right out there, and so are more people. Now, the Sunday Night Football game, if you were a fan of none of the teams and you're just a fan of sports, the Sunday Night Football game was such a blowout that I'm not so sure. Would people flip over and say, you know what, this is boring, and why am I watching this? I could be doing 10 other things. Let me get my political fix on. I taped all the shows. I'm going to listen to what the politicians have to say and figure out who I'm going to vote for. Now, you do that early in the morning over coffee. Not later at night when you're watching the Saints beat up on the Colts 62-7. Oh, so at least with the World Series game, the Cardinals did lose 4-0, but they were in it really till the end. I mean, it was great pitching, but they were definitely in the thick of it till the home run, the Mike Napoli home run that cleared the bases. And even still, they could have come back from being down, and they didn't. But certainly there was no way the Colts were going to come back from the drubbing that they took at the hands of the Saints. I mean, that's one of the craziest scores that you'll probably see this season. I don't know that we'll see lopsided games, but I don't know that we'll see another score where you've got 62 points. Oh, are you kidding me? You got to think of some of these fans who are watching this unfold, and, you know, you're sitting there in the Superdome. And have you lost interest? I mean, now, at what point are you paying attention to other things that are happening in the stadium? Or maybe the drubbing is just so excited and the crowd is so whipped up and the Saints are now 5-2 after that you can't get enough of it. You know, just give me more, give me more, give me more. Being on the other side of it would not be very fun. You could tell they were hanging their heads, and I think they just wanted to get off that field. The Saints, by the way, just for grins, I'm going to tell you this. They had 557 yards and a team record 36 first downs. Ooh, that's a lot of first downs.
I've got a really bad hangover, so if you aren't willing to have a sensible conversation, I'm just going to shut the curtains.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
Worse! How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan. We're at the threshold of hell!